Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me, of course, is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know by now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for a new blog tomorrow morning. But there is various content added throughout the week that you need to get over there and check out. So continue to swing by, but of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. So last night, Cleveland Cavaliers lost their fifth out of their last seven games, this time to the New Orleans Pelicans, who oddly were playing without superstar Anthony Davis. Now, after the game, LeBron came out and, ripped the team a little bit and then actually managed to take some shots at the front office. He ripped the team basically just by saying, I just hope we're not satisfied because they won last year. But he also mentioned stuff like, we're not better than last year and, those kind of things. And then he went on to say that they need a playmaker. A, isn't LeBron the playmaker? And B, when he rips the front office, is he just ripping himself?
Yes and no. I think he's playing both sides and trying to keep himself. It's almost like the end of his time with the Heat.
They decided, I thought this was humorous, the media decided he was serious because he dropped an F-bomb in his interview. So because he swears very infrequently. And since, he dropped an F-bomb and also I believe he threw the SH word in there as well, they decided that this is dead serious. But Kyrie Irving is your point guard and your playmaker. He's actually been playing pretty well. How do you react if you're Irving that you got this toolbox out there saying, well, we need a playmaker, where A, he should be picking up some of that load, and B, you as Kyrie Irving are having a really good year?
I don't know. If he's trying to motivate, I don't think it's working.
Yeah, he did. I think he came out today and he kind of sort of mentioned, he kind of apologized to, or tried to clarify his comments. And of course, he did it on Twitter. The tweet said, I'm not mad or upset at management because Griff, who's David Griffin, he's the guy who actually holds the title of general manager, even though we all know LeBron handles that. Because Griff and his staff have done a great job. I just still feel we need to improve in order to repeat. So, yeah, he went out and attempted to clarify that. I don't know if he did a fantastic job of that or however you want to look at it, but is this, Dan and I see this at my job all the time when it comes to management. Is this just got the top guy in the game covering his rear end in case they can't repeat?
Oh, yeah.
He wants to make sure that, we're not pointing fingers at him at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't remember what the excuses were for that final they didn't win with Heat, but, I mean, all signs pointed to he didn't want to be there anymore. But he was done.
So, yeah, I just, you know, like, I've been listening to this pretty much all day. You know, this has been the big, you know, the big sports story, you know, of the day, and it's just been kind of like, okay, so, yeah, to me, like I said, to me, literally, it just seemed like a guy who was worried about what people were going to say about him if this team doesn't go on repeat, or, you know, with the way this team is playing, Dan, there's a chance they're not even going to get back to the finals. You know, how big of a slap in the face would it be if that, you know, if that happened to LeBron?
Well, I mean, that would be huge, but I don't see them falling out that bad.
Yeah, well, you know, you wonder. I mean, this, you know, this team has been really struggling as of late. You know, I mean, we heard the excuse about, well, you know, we haven't had time to practice. Well, now you've had time to practice. You know, you guys have been able to, you know, hang out, get to know each other. You know, so you can't use the Kyle Korver excuse anymore that he just got here and, you know, we're not, you know, we're still not sure what we have. You know what I mean? Last night, I mean, you get beat, and, you know, it was only by 2 points, but you get beat by a New Orleans Pelicans team that it's a lottery team. So I just don't know. You know, I don't understand what, you know, what more they can do to, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. It just seems like, you know, one of those, you know, one of those situations where it's, you know, where it's LeBron hanging on for his, you know, his own 2 cents, right? You know?
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I don't think they would fall out of playoff contention, but I think he's sizing the team up and realizing that, A, they're sitting number one in the East, but they would technically be, number four in the West, right above the Clippers, would be right on their tail too, but they've played more games. So you've got to wonder, who really cares about the East? I think, you know, Cleveland's biggest challenge would obviously be between Toronto and Boston. And then if they make it past them, you've got to wonder, can they beat Golden State, the Spurs, or the Rockets in the 7-game series?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, just kind of like, you know, listening, and, you know, it was really kind of humorous. I got a kick out of, I watched some of the Saturday game where the Cavaliers ended up, you know, losing to the Spurs. And I think the game ended up going to overtime. Yeah. You know, it was a really good game. So, you know, that was kind of one of those, you know, cool things. You're like, oh, okay, cool. At least it was a good game. You know, I caught pretty much the back half of the fourth quarter and then overtime. And it was one of the weirdest things I noticed. And now I would expect this out of, you know, your Homer announcer. You know, you get the guy who, of course, is with the team all the time. And, you know, he's going to do what he can to kind of cover up for players' mistakes. But there was a play. LeBron tried to make a cross-court bounce pass. And, well, he made the pass. The problem was he made it to nobody. You know, none of the Cleveland players were standing in that corner. And it was just so odd how Jeff Van Gundy was doing the broadcast for the Mickey Mouse Network. And he just went off on how there should have been a Cavalier player standing there because LeBron made this pass 2 games ago. and it resulted in a basket. That was two games ago. You know, yeah, how are these guys supposed to know that, Dan? That was two games ago. They're supposed to remember that, you know, he threw a cross-court pass two games ago and they scored? I was baffled. But, yeah, it literally seemed like when LeBron did something good, you know, they praised him, and obviously, you know, he's a great player. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But then, you know, he makes mistakes like everybody else does, and anytime there was any type of error, they started looking, well, you know, this guy should have been doing that, or this guy should have been doing this. And it's like, guys, he just made a mistake. It's no big deal. Players make mistakes all the time. You know, even the best ones. And I don't know, are they just, you know, is it the fact that it's the Mickey Mouse Network? Are they covering their interests that, you know, they don't want to see this guy, you know, look bad or end up looking bad?
Well, no, I mean, this is one of the biggest money makers for them. This is how they get paid.
So, yeah, you know, like I said, it was just, it was just kind of humorous, you know, listening to him. You know, the funny thing is, you know, the first thing I thought of is I was like, man, you know, is Hawk Harrelson doing the game? So, you know, I was waiting for him to start complaining about the refs for LeBron. You know, that's how bad it was. You know how Hawk gets with the umpires, or did get. You know, that was the next thing I was waiting for, was them to say, well, you know, the refs really, you know, they should have made that call here for LeBron, or, you know, this call. They're like, oh, God, just please shut up. So,
I will say what I did enjoy. I don't know if you picked up on this. Sitting in my living room, I, you know, had the Spurs Cavaliers on, and then I remember the Bulls were on, and I switched over. And to me, it seemed like the ABC nationally televised camera gave you such a bigger picture. You know, the players look bigger than life. Where when you flick back over, and I think it was on WGN, you had the high court camera. So
yeah.
Not a whole lot of zooming in. You know, it actually made me turn back to the Spurs Jazz because I just enjoyed the video quality much better. So, I mean, if they can kind of continue on that level and get the NBA up to that as a whole, I think that would improve the game and the experience of watching it at home 100 times better.
Yeah, it does seem, you know, there's miles and miles of difference between a national broadcast and then your local, you know, what you get out of your local games. You know, I did mean to ask you, and I forgot all about this. I actually meant to ask you this last week. Did you even realize we had a free preview of the NBA full court?
On cable or internet? Well, the league passed
the
internet.
On cable.
No, I had no clue.
Yeah, I didn't hear the commercial. I heard it like the middle of last week. I guess it went on all last week. And then I forgot about it until Sunday night. And I was actually flipping over when the Patriots and Steelers would go to commercial. I flipped over and I was watching some of the T-Wolves because, you know, you and I have always kind of been interested in them since Tom Thibodeau took over. So, yeah, I completely forgot about it. I was like, oh, crap, this has been going on all week. I could have at least checked out some of what they were showing. And, yeah, I just completely missed it. So, yeah, I was like, great. Nice going, idiot. So, but we, you know, we do have some returns, Dan, tonight. Blake Griffin is going to come back for the Clippers. But oddly, Blake Griffin comes back, and Austin Rivers is going to miss the game. He has, I think they're calling it the flu. And then Anthony Davis comes back for the Pelicans tonight. You know, he didn't play last night against LeBron, but he's coming back tonight to play against Russell Westbrook. So hopefully that will help you with your daily or weekly or whatever you're doing fantasy-wise. But tonight, not a ton of games tonight, though. Here's the schedule real quick. We've got the San Antonio Spurs at the Toronto Raptors. That's actually an NBA TV game. The Los Angeles Clippers at the Philadelphia 76ers. The Boston Celtics at the Washington Wizards. The Chicago Bulls at the Orlando Magic. All these games are going to be starting in about 15 minutes. So If you're interested, get ready to go. We got the Utah Jazz at the Denver Nuggets, and then the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Phoenix Suns. Dan, are you buying the Wizards-Celtics rivalry yet? Have you bought into this? You know, the Wizards have said they're going to wear all black headed into the game because it's war.
Why not? They can't wear all camo.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought, right? If it was war, you should have wore camo, but, you know.
Well, not even camo, like something where you can, you know, court-blended camo. So they look like they blend into the court. But I'm sure for TV purposes, you can't do that. I'm not totally buying into it, but when I was looking at the schedule, that was the first game that popped up, obviously because it was at the top, but also because, I have a thing for the Wizards, and Boston kind of made a come up over the last couple of seasons. I think that would be a great game to watch tonight.
Yeah, John Wall said they were prepping for a funeral. That's why they're wearing all black. And then one of the other players said a funeral or a war. The games here do get pretty chippy with these two teams, so it is kind of interesting to watch. I think the last one had one of the worst like setups for an NBA fight in league history. It was the one where I think Jay Crowder ended up reaching out and touching John Wall's nose. And then in return, Wall reached up, and it looked like he was going to slap him, but really just kind of rubbed his face with his hand. And I'm like, good Lord, man, this couldn't be a worse setup for a fight in anything. And then, of course, you know, they were separated right away, so there was no real incident except some, you know, just some guys pushing and shoving.
Yeah, but I think for both these teams, they have to tread lightly, and they can't. I definitely would enjoy the physicalness of the Wizards. I think that's one of the things I like about the team, their BS. And if you can imagine, if this team was on the court, on the playground, you might get beat up by them.
Yeah. The Wizards have actually been playing well. You know, they're 24-20. They're actually only 2.5 games behind the Celtics in the standings. So, you know, that always makes it, you know, if they were out of the playoffs or, down hanging around 10-11, you know, it probably wouldn't be as interesting. But the fact that they're playing well, they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. So, you know, it makes this a whole lot more interesting of a matchup. It's just, too bad it's not on TV anywhere. I wonder, can you stream that, or do you have to pay for it?
If you really wanted, NBA has that option where you could buy the game for $7.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't think I want to see that game badly enough to pay $7 for it, but it was just kind of interesting if there was, a way to watch it or, something like that. But, yeah, out of the schedule tonight, I like San Antonio and Toronto. I think that could be a really good game. But, yeah, other than that, I definitely think it's Celtics-Wizards is the way to go tonight.
Mm-hmm. Kind of on the NBA topic and – something we had talked about, I think everyone talked about last year with Golden State setting that record and then it meaning absolutely nothing because they didn't win the finals. I thought you'd find this very interesting because you're going to laugh at me. But, if you remember, I purchased the hat, the record setting hat, 73-9, got the cool patch. And, I still have it in the package. I never even touched it. Because, my theory was within this year and the next couple of years, that thing would be valued plus $100. I shouldn't have wasted my time because sitting there on eBay right now is that cap for
$17.95. Oh, geez. Well, you got to hang on to it and then more and more disappear, it'll become more valuable.
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay the $7 shipping, but I think this is one that's going to sit in the back of my closet for the next at least 5 to 10 years. Maybe when Steph retires and gets into the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that may be your best bet, you know. Just one of those goofy things. But you know, while we were talking, you know, talking about it a little, I was hoping you're one of the guys who jumped on and voted against the trade in our fantasy league. We had kind of an odd trade, so I'm hoping our league is paying attention, because I want to pull it up here to make sure I get everything right. But I don't believe, well, that's the wrong league, that ain't gonna help me, but I don't believe it was really too fair of a setup. So I
Oh, it's gone already.
again, yeah, I thought I just saw it. I thought I was just in here, so I don't know if it's gonna. Yeah, I was. I'm trying to figure out what this one guy's doing. He's been making a lot of trades, but oh yeah, you're right. It is gone. So, and I was just on here, but you know, before we started the podcast. And yeah, I'm not so sure if he's trying to help his team or if he's trying to help somebody else's team. But okay, it didn't go through. So yeah, the trade was DeMar DeRozan for Jabari Parker, Alex Burks, and Jared Sullinger. And you know, I guess maybe it was a little more even than I thought it was, but you know, it's this again, it's this guy, whoever he is, his team name is Furious. You know, he's been making a ton of trades, but I can't figure out if he's making his team better or if he's just trying to help one of the other guys win the league, because he seems to make a lot of deals with the very top teams. You know, like this was a trade that was going to the number one team in the league, you know, and I think his other trade went to the guy, yeah, who was in fourth. And it's just kind of like, okay, dude, well, I'm sitting here in eighth, help me out. You know, every trade I've ever sent this guy, he shoots down. So, you know, he sends me the stuff kind of like he sends you, where he wants, you know, my two best players for three guys that I'm not going to use.
No, I keep getting the trade offers from the number one team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is he the guy who wants Kevin Durant?
Yeah, and you actually bumped up a spot to number 7.
Oh,
So
did
I
I? Okay.
mean, if I were to,
Cool.
yeah, I would definitely take a look at my team and put together maybe your best package for KD, or maybe a not so great package for Ricky Rubio, because I'm sitting at 15 and I have absolutely no shot.
Yeah, you know, because like I'm looking at his team now, and you know, you got to realize this was a guy who just traded Russell Westbrook. And you know, yeah, I'm kind of looking at his team going, well, you know, what did you get? So,
Well,
you know,
being at 15,
I don't.
I'm not jumping 7 spots.
No, you know, probably not. Well, you know, unless you know, the only way you do that is if your schedule is you're against all the bottom guys.
Am the bottom guy.
Well, no, you know, if you're 15, that means there's five teams under you.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, I, you know, like I said, I just can't, you know, I was kind of, you know, 'cause I'd sent the guy a couple deals before, and it just, you know, I mean, it comes back right away. You know, he doesn't take long. It's almost like he sees my name and just, no, okay, I'm not trading with this guy. Okay. You know, or then I get the reply, well, you know, I'll give you here, you know, you give me the two best guys on your team, and I'll give you these guys who haven't done anything for me all year. It's like, oh, okay, hey, great, thanks. How's that gonna help me? You know, I'm trying to squeeze into the playoffs here, not knock myself out. So. But yeah, we'll see what happens. So, and then, you know, then the other big story, Dan, I don't know if you managed to hear this one or stumbled across this one today, but you know how obviously players have, you know, football players have their radio shows. You know, we had the Jay Cutler show here for a while, and I know other guys have done it. I think, didn't Martellus Bennett do one for a little while?
I think he took over for Jay Cutler after 2 weeks.
So, well, of course, in Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger has one. You know, no surprise. I mean, obviously, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the game. Well, this morning, he does his show on something called 93.7 The Fan. And they were talking to him about next year. And he used the term, you know, if he comes back next year. All right, now I, you know, you gotta kind of take this in context. This made people nuts all day, because it was like, oh, Roethlisberger's gonna retire. What are the Steelers gonna do? You know what this? And I mean, they were just literally reporting it as Ben was done. All right, now you gotta think about this in context. He just played a tough game Sunday, where they got destroyed with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. He's coming off a long season, even though it's only, you know, 16 games plus playoffs. It's still a long NFL season where you get, you know, beat around, especially as a quarterback. You know, if guys get a chance to take a shot at you, they're taking a shot at you. He's 2 days removed from this game. Dan, don't you think the last thing this guy wants to think about is next year?
I mean, I'm sure he's worried about next week. What is he going to do with his time?
Yeah. So, you know, and of course, you know, you got to realize he's married, and I believe he has a young child. So, you know, maybe he's just looking forward to spending some time with his wife and his kid, you know, and not having to worry about football. I know he pulled out of the Pro Bowl, no surprise there. He's being replaced by Philip Rivers. So, you know, his offseason has started. You know, it was probably the last show of the year for his, you know, quarterback show. And this is the other thing the thing that just drives me nuts about the media when they jump all over a story like this. If Roethlisberger was to retire right now and not come back for next season, he would actually have to return millions of dollars to the Steelers, according to his contract. Do you honestly think, Dan, that any athlete, barring, you know, in career ending injury, is giving money back? So, you know, it was like, you know, these idiots got to kind of think it through. I mean, I know it. Oh, well, he said if. Oh, my God, he said if. Get the details. I know you want to be the one to break the story. But in the end here, and I know, well, maybe in the end you don't look like the gigantic ass you really are, because nobody goes into detail like this. But, yeah, Mr. Fantasy actually pointed this out to me, saying the way his contract is structured, he would have to return millions of dollars.
Well, and not only that, I mean, if he doesn't return, how will this team look?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously there's a big hole at quarterback. They would have Landry Jones, who's had some, you know, playing time, but he's not Ben Roethlisberger. But, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, this team is actually in a really good position to win. I mean, obviously they looked bad Sunday against the Patriots. But to be fair, Le'Veon Bell got hurt, didn't play the whole game. But, you know, you have your big three. You have Roethlisberger, you have Antonio Brown, you have Le'Veon Bell. You know, my biggest offseason concern would be keeping Le'Veon Bell off the weed and make sure he doesn't fail another offseason drug test. So, yeah, it was just, I mean, humorous listening to these people just freak out. Oh, my God, he's going to, what's he going to do? What are we going to do? Ben's going to retire. No, Ben isn't going anywhere. I would be literally as shocked as I've ever been if Ben Roethlisberger was to walk away right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They just drive me nuts. You know what I mean? I'm sure Ben kind of did it purposely, being vague like that to get everybody excited, you know, let them have something to talk about.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. And not, you know, Dan, I know, you know, the Pro Bowl is this weekend. I know you're super excited about it. Maybe on Friday you can give us a full roster breakdown, AFC against NFC and stuff like that. But the skills competition is Thursday. Now, I don't know exactly what skills they're going to do or share or anything, but this came out today, Dan, and here's the exact, I believe this is a tweet from Darren Rovell. He's one of the Mickey Mouse Network's, reporters and writers and stuff. He tweets that a football-dropping drone has been added to the Pro Bowl skills competition.
Hmm.
Now, they don't say what the drone is going to do, but we're going to get a football-dropping drone, Dan. How exciting is that?
Yeah, it is actually kind of exciting if they use it the right way.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I am actually more excited about the skills competition than the Pro Bowl. I will actually watch the skills competition. I believe it's Thursday. I think it starts, sadly for you and I think it starts at 6 o'clock, so we'll miss a little of it. But, yeah, I want to see what these guys are going to do with, you know, skill. But, yeah, I mean, the game itself I could care less about.
No, I won't be watching the game. I do think that it's an intrigue. And, I mean, if you kind of go back to this season with the commercials that are on TV, I believe it was actually Pittsburgh coach that was in a commercial where they had, like, electronic tackling dummies.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know, I know that was kind of a joke, but if they were able to perfect things, whether it's a tackling dummy or, you know, QB hit the target, I think that would enhance just the skills competition. And, you know, maybe you don't use it for, you know, the top guys, Brady and Rodgers and all those guys. Granted, they would never go anyway. But, you know, a lot of the, you know, the young guys, you know, guys who don't have a contract, well, guys who, you know, ride the pine all year. I don't know. I think it would just make it more fun.
It definitely would.
You've got 32 second-string quarterbacks just out there,
yeah,
you know, throwing it at movable targets. And, you know, it would actually make for a lot of fun. And I think it would be, bring a lot of interest into it. And you wouldn't have to do it on the Thursday. You could actually, you know, do that on Sunday, but that would not happen.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised this is on a Thursday. You know, because the game itself is until, I believe, Sunday. But, maybe they think it's, you know, I know weekends aren't always great for, you know, I know, like, you know, Friday, Saturdays aren't always great for ratings. So maybe they think Thursday night is a better rating night.
Well, then, I mean, that's what you think of now on Thursday's NFL, whether it's, you know, Pro Bowl skills competition or, you know, the Jaguars versus the Texans.
Yes. Let's run the two worst teams on the NFL out there on a Thursday night and see if we can get people to watch. And then they do. So we keep doing it.
Yeah. I think, and you know, this is very, very far-fetched, but I mean, what if they started to take away the actual Pro Bowl? And I don't know how you could work this in the other sports other than with the NFL, but making it almost like a track and field day event, you know, where you have events going on literally for maybe 6-8 hours.
Wow, that's long.
Well, you know, I mean, if you could break it up into two different venues and, you know, bring a greater experience to the fans as a whole.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, you do wonder, you know, if these ideas have ever came up or popped up, you know, because obviously that's, you know, that's a very viable idea, you know, have a, you know, do something a little more fan friendly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they talk about. They always say that, you know, the one day where it's supposed to be for the fans. And then, you know, granted, now I think everyone knows, but can you imagine 15 years ago, you planned to go to Hawaii. You made that whole trip because you thought, you know, your guy was going to be there and you thought you were going to get to see the best of the best. And the next thing you know, the top 20 guys in the league, aside from the Super Bowl team, have all, you know, just opted out. So now you're there hanging out with whoever, watching a BS game now.
Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, I think like you said, I mean, now you expect it. You know, if you're going to the Pro Bowl, you're probably not going to see, you know, 40 or, well, maybe more, maybe 60% of the guys who are actually drafted to play in the Pro Bowl or voted to play in the Pro Bowl. So, you know, you just got to kind of deal with that. But yeah, you know, and I know what was weird is like, that was a lot of the, you know, the players' complaints too, was the fact that this year, you know, it's in Orlando. So they don't get the free trip to Hawaii. So
they're really not going.
Yeah. So, yeah, just, you know, yeah, one of those things. But, yeah, it's, you know, definitely, you know, hell, I like your idea better than watching the Pro Bowl. I would rather see that.
But, you know, I mean, it's, you kind of take the idea of what the NHL was trying to do with their stadium series in the sense that, you know, you had the three games and each, we'll just, for lack of better words, each coast, the East, the West, and the Midwest. I know the Midwest is not a coast, but, you know, they essentially tried to do that a couple of years ago where you had one game that early, you had the midday, and then you had the evening game. And, you know, can you imagine if they had a skill competition set up that way where, you know, it was, you can either watch the whole day or just watch the events you want to watch, kind of like the Olympics.
Yeah. See, this is why you have the college degree and I'm just along for the ride here, you know.
Hey, anybody can buy a degree.
Well, here. here's something we don't hear much about, Dan, and I actually didn't realize this, but the San Francisco 49ers, since we're on the NFL, obviously not the best team. You know, they're still kind of working out whatever they got going on there. They have decided that they are freezing their season ticket prices for the next 2 years. So now, you know, we talk about it all the time. You know, you mentioned how much more Cubs tickets are going to cost. You know, even bad teams, you know, when it comes around, you know, bad teams like the Bears and the Browns and the Jaguars, you know, the teams at the bottom, they'll raise ticket prices for next year. For the next 2 years, if you're a season ticket holder for the San Francisco 49ers, it's not going to cost you any more than it did this year. And oddly, I didn't realize this, Dan, you know, they opened their new stadium in 2014. They haven't raised ticket prices since they moved into that building.
Is that because they offer free Wi-Fi?
I was wondering that, or, you know, maybe because the team is just bad, you know, and they're hoping not to lose any fans or anything, but...
Yeah,
I was just kind of like, that's different.
What really happened to this team? I know you can't, we don't have the time, and I know neither one of us have really dug deep and done the research, but, you know, we obviously can't go back to the McMahon, Montana, and Young days. But, I mean, this was this, like, storied franchise, I thought. You know, it was a big deal, the Candlestick Park going down. I mean, you know, I started getting into football again simply because of this show. If we didn't do this show, I probably wouldn't even watch the NFL at all. But, I mean, what happened? It's obviously we can't blame it all on Colin Kaepernick. It's not his fault. You know, what was the demise? I mean, really, I mean, yeah, he's done a lot of BS and he gets a lot of flack for the crap he pulled this, you know, this season. And, but I mean, at the same time, it's not his fault that the team just kind of is dysfunctional. I mean, is it Mike Singletary's fault? Is there really anybody's fault? I mean, you would think,
yeah, well, you know, you,
his franchise. Yeah, I'm rambling.
Yeah, you start looking, you know, you start looking back, and the trouble started when Jim Harbaugh, you know, his contract was coming to an end. He wanted to be head coach and general manager. Well, obviously, you had a general manager who didn't want to lose his job, so they had a power struggle, and Harbaugh lost. So you lost a very good coach who took you to the Super Bowl that Colin Kaepernick played really well for, and Jim Harbaugh understood how to use Kaepernick. That was his guy. He wanted Kaepernick in the draft. You know, they picked him up for Harbaugh to develop. Kaepernick hasn't been very good since Harbaugh left.
Nope.
All right, then you bring in, I don't even remember who the first guy was. But, you know, you brought in one guy who lasted a year. Obviously, that doesn't help. You bring in Jim Tomsula, who I still don't understand that hire. He lasted a year. Then you go to Chip Kelly. He lasts a year. You know, there's, you know, you can't build anything with your coaching staff here because they're not around long enough to do anything. Then, you know, they had that really weird circumstance where I think they had four guys 25 or younger retire because of the CTE scares. And, you know, they just walked away from the game. I think it was four. It might have been either four defensive starters or four starters total. They just say, okay, well, we're done. I'm no longer going to play football. I'm going to go on to do something else. If you did that to any team, you know, even the Patriots, they would lose. You know, you can't lose four top players, you know, like that. You just can't replace them. You know, and then obviously, you know, you kind of look, you know, a couple poor drafts. You know, we've seen it here with the Bears. You know, the drafts have stunk. You're not getting anything out of those players. And, you know, the quarterback play has been poor. Kaepernick hadn't been good. You turn to Blaine Gabbert, who was a first-round bust for years ago. I think he might have been a Jaguar first-round bust. You know, so yeah. You've got subpar quarterback play. You're missing guys. You can't draft guys. You can't keep coaches. And all of a sudden, you're 2-14 at the bottom of the NFL.
But
so, you know, they're kind of, you know.
They're rebuilding, and I know where you're going to go with that.
Yeah.
I guess just to take you a step back, and you know exactly where I'm going with this. Is it an issue that they're not taking the time with the coach? Or is it that the Chicago Bears and their fans alike are buying too much into the coach?
Yeah, well, you know, I believe it depends your school of thought. You know, like now everybody wants results immediately. And, you know, when you're given a bad team, you know, like obviously they had, you know, they had Chip Kelly this year. Okay, you know, he took the Eagles to the playoffs once, but there, you know, there's still some questions about his, you know, his, the way he does things, you know, the stuff like that. Well, you know, you bring him in, you give him this roster, and say you've got to win? No, you can't do that to a guy. You know, I mean, if you're going to bring a guy in, you've got to give him the opportunity to, you know, at least get his guys in place, get things set up, you know, kind of stuff like that. I mean, you can't walk in and, hey, here you go, we're winning. No, that's not going to happen. So
you've got a West Coast offense.
You know, I don't understand, you know, kind of the entire thinking behind that. I mean, you know, you went through four coaches in 4 years. You know, you're not going to win like that. You know, there's no way, you know, you can't keep continuity. You can't keep these things together. And, teams nowadays, that's what they want, though. You want immediate results. You know, they don't want to hear, hey, we've got to build this. You know, we've got to do this. We got to do that. It's going to take a little time. No, nobody wants to hear that. You know, everybody wants, hey, we're going to come in. We're going to win. Yeah, it doesn't work like that in the NFL. Occasionally, you can have a team pop up. Like, Chip Kelly went to the Eagles. He went to the playoffs his first year. But I think that was the only playoff appearance they made. It's difficult to do. And I hope whoever they bring in now, and it looks like they're going to go with Kyle Shanahan, the Falcons offensive coordinator. I hope they give them a chance to build something. We've seen 2 years of the rebuild with the Bears. My biggest fear here is I think the team was actually worse the second year than the first year. That's scary. you want to see improvement. In relative terms, at least in the Cubs' second year of the rebuild, you could see signs. There were little things there that were like, okay, we've got this going on. This will help down the road. We didn't see that with the Bears. Will the 49ers go through that? Obviously we don't see enough of the team to know. So, it's tough for fans because obviously you want to win. I'm still going through it with Schomburg Stew and the Bulls. He keeps telling me how he can't watch the games because they stink. Even though at the start of the season, him and I both agreed they were going to be a 500 team, they're a game under 500. So I'm confused on where he thought the team was going to be at this point after we talked about it. They're right where I expected them to be. So, fan expectation can be difficult when it kind of comes to those kind of things. Cause obviously, and I get it. You want to win, you want your team to win. You want to be able to rub it in your friend's face, but again, as a Cub fan, sometimes you really got to suck before you can turn it around.
Well, and it's funny because when you bring up the Cubs and just a little, stupid story, but totally true with Javi Baez. Everybody loves the kid now. I went to two games where he struck out 9 times. And I only went to 2 games.
Yeah.
And that was a few years back or whatever, but it's rough. I'm sitting there and you listen to it and Theo, Jed, or whoever at the time the coach was, and you're like, well, I don't know what you guys see in this kid. He strikes out all the time. And of the 9, I believe 3 or 4 were called. So, and those were, it's just whatever. It is what it is. But it sucks. It's hard to watch. that's when you start going to see your home team because they're playing, said team.
Yep.
And for me that summer, it was because they were playing the Dodgers and the Giants.
So, we do have a little baseball news, Dan. You and I brought this up yesterday. The Dodgers were in, we've been talking, they need a second baseman. They did actually complete the deal with the Tampa Bay Rays today. And in a bit of a surprise, it ended up just being a 1-for-1 swap. The Dodgers will get Logan Forsyth, the second baseman they need, in return for Jose De Leon, who is their, I believe he was their second-rated pitching prospect. So, after all the talk of, trying to get Dozier and Minnesota wanting all these prospects, they turned to Forsyth and worked it out pretty quickly with Tampa Bay. So, should be, in turn, a good move for L.A. Forsyth's a quality second baseman, and, he should fit in really nicely there. I think that was their biggest hole, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that shores up near second base, trying to keep it on mute while my dog is barking, and then he waits until I talk. You know how that goes. But no, I think, you know, I'm one of the biggest things I'm excited about is you'll quit asking me about it.
Yeah, I still won't quit. What are you talking about? So.
Well, you can't ask me anymore. I'll just get to say, well, they have Logan Forsythe. I don't have to worry about it anymore.
There you go.
So I mean, you know, I went right there, but no, I mean, in all seriousness, I think it it shores up much better than Chase Utley. I think Chase Utley was, you know, it's time to move on, and they've. Would you say they still have gotten younger?
Oh yeah, technically they did. Forsythe is younger than Utley, so.
A lot younger, you know, but I don't know. I think it looks pretty good. If you forget who we have at short, although how could I forget that Seager? So you got Turner, Seager. Now you have Forsythe, and you've got the veteran first baseman and Adrian Gonzalez. So that's pretty short up. I still don't believe that they're going to give up on Puig. I don't know why. So maybe they'll prove me wrong in the next couple months, or you know, by the trade deadline. So who do we have in the outfield? We have Puig.
Puig, Ethier come back healthy. Ethier. Jack Peterson. Yeah, there's a plethora of outfielders on that team. So
it might be one of those situations where they have to get rid of somebody. And I mean, do you think it's that time where Ethier gets moved, or he would definitely, if they want to move somebody? I think it would be Puig, because I think he'd still get the most value if he plays pretty well, especially the first month of baseball.
Yeah, you know, it's always kind of tough to, you know, make the decision. See, like, I thought Ethier was the guy they were going to move instead of Matt Kemp. And then, in return, they decided to keep Ethier, and they shipped Kemp off, you know, a couple years ago. So...
That worked out greatly for them, to be honest.
Looking at their depth chart, they're listing Puig as the starting right fielder. Of course, they also have Ethier on the bench, so I don't know how that's quite going to work out. As their bench outfielders, they have your guy Kiki Hernandez, who of course can play multiple spots. Ethier, and then Trace Thompson. So, you know, will that be how they look? You know, who knows by the time it gets there. I think Scott Van Slyke is still in the organization somewhere. I know he had kind of an injury-plagued season. So, you just kind of wonder. So, but a couple other veterans... Here, Dan, before I get you to make some picks today, because we get to do it yesterday, the Giants signed Nick Hundley to be Buster Posey's backup, and the Cubs added the off-injured left-handed pitcher Brett Anderson on a one-year deal. So, you know, this guy being left-handed, he gets shot after shot after shot, and all he does is get hurt.
Did he play for the Angels last year?
No, he was a Dodger last year.
Oh, that's the team he was. I knew it was close.
So,
yeah, right.
You know, I mean, they just, you know, they see this guy and, oh, yeah, let's bring him in. Granted, you know, he hasn't pitched, you know, more than five games a year for the last 8 years, but let's bring him in and take a look at him. So now it's the Cubs' turn. You know, and I know they were looking to build some rotation help, so I understand it, but. Just kind of weird. So, all right, well, let's get into some picks here.
Well, we got 1 minute. I forgot. Never mind.
See? So we'll do the NBA first, since there really are only two games that haven't started. You can pick those. The game's going already. The Spurs at the Raptors, the Clippers at the 76ers, the Celtics at the Wizards, and the Bulls at the Magic. Those games have already started. By the way, Dan, the Wizards are up 9 on the Celtics early, 26-17. So we start off, Dan, we got the Utah Jazz at the Denver Nuggets. We don't get to pick a lot of these games. Who are you going here with this one tonight?
I'm gonna go with the Jazz.
Cause I need the Jeopardy music and stuff when you pause like that. I gotta, you know. So all right, and then the only other game on the schedule, Dan, the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Phoenix Suns. You like the T Wolves, or are you going with the home team, the Suns?
T Wolves.
All right, going with Minnesota on the road. Now, there's a ton of NHL games. I guess they're trying to squeeze them all in before the All-Star break. We got the Detroit Red Wings at the Boston Bruins, the Los Angeles Kings at the New Jersey Devils, the Columbus Blue Jackets at the New York Islanders. The NBC Sports Network game tonight has the St. Louis Blues at the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Calgary Flames at the Montreal Canadiens, the Washington Capitals at the Ottawa Senators. I almost switched their names up there. The Buffalo Sabres at the Nashville Predators, the San Jose Sharks at the Winnipeg Jets, the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Minnesota Wild at the Dallas Stars. Well, we got the local team and your favorite team, Dan, so we're going to give you two hockey picks tonight as well. Washington is at Ottawa. We know you love the Capitals. You got them winning on the road against Ottawa?
I'm going to have to go with them.
I can't remember the last time you picked against the Capitals. It's been a while. All right, and then we got the Tampa Bay Lightning in town without your guy Steven Stamkos. I believe he's still hurt. They're taking on the Blackhawks. You like the Blackhawks to get a home win, or does Tampa Bay sneak a game by here?
I'm going with the homers.
All right, so stick with the Blackhawks and see how that works out for you. So, but yeah, this is the last week before the NHL heads into the All-Star break, so we shall see how that goes. So you'll be able to get to watch a little Bulls because they already started, and then you can watch the Blackhawks when they start.
Well, that works out.
Yeah, worked out perfectly for you. It's almost like they set the schedule up just for you. Isn't it weird? So hopefully the Blackhawks play a little better. They still seem, I don't know, have you noticed it seems like they almost make, it's almost like they make every game close. I said it seems like the Blackhawks make every game close almost intentionally, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They want to keep you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. You know,
when sabermetrics makes it to the NHL, we'll hear about how goals don't matter. Remember that, Big Jack. Say that today.
Oh, God. Yeah, that probably will happen. All right, it's time for Dan and I to see you. But we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it again. Do it all again. You know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the cool stuff there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You know, Dan's picks come up there, or else you can get them at Dan C. Mann. Just remember there's three E's in that. He likes the Jazz and the T-Wolves to get wins in the NBA tonight. No big surprises in the NHL. He likes the Capitals to get a win. And the Blackhawks are his other pick to get a win there. Get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.